Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. It's good to be in God's house. I got some real special help up here with me today. Everybody turn to page 120 for our first song. 120. Let's all stand. 120. Ready? Be seated. Good job, Troy. Good job. Let's turn over to 137 for our next hymn. 137, verse 1, 2, and 4. 137.
Brother Brad. Good evening, or good morning, excuse me. Days and nights mixed up. Paula's not with me to get me corrected first thing this morning, so I guess I'm off track this morning. She is visiting this morning and what she is actually doing. In case you did not hear, we got really good news this past Monday morning. My granddaughter, Hannah, got saved. And we were very well blessed in that day. They were having a revival at the school, and she went down to pray. And by the time I got there, she was already outside talking to her daddy on the phone. But she told me all about it. But the next day, I decided to go for their service. And I told them during Sunday school this morning that after that she had, during the service, there was a lady who testified, told a good long testimony of her salvation. And when that lady sat down, Hannah got up. And she just said, "I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul." And I thought, boy, that's good. Then she started to testify. And that was sweet, especially in Granddaddy's eyes. And so I told different ones today, Hannah didn't ask her daddy when she could join the church. She said, "When can I be baptized?" So she had it on her mind, and so Paula has gone today to try to be there when Hannah joined the church. She said, "I miss seeing her getting saved." She said, "I'd like to be there when that she joined the church." And she said, I hate to leave you by yourself. And as you see, I'm already, I need her help, you know. No, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to see each and every one out. But it's been a good week for us. Macon has had four to get saved. And where the little boy that Patrick has been asking prayer for, he told him he got saved also on Monday. And they, there at Defeated Creek, they've had two others that have been saved during their revival. So it's been a good week, a week of good news. And I'm thankful for that. Whenever God is saving souls, it's good news. Now, the only thing is when I start to hear people talking about people getting saved in their churches, I start saying, "Lord, why not us?" Amen. That's the way I look at it. Why not us? Why can't we see one of ours get saved, or at least one of ours, is the way I should be doing. And because I'd like to see multiple ones of our church get saved. And I still have those burdens for them. So we need to remember those that are unsaved in our body, that we need to be praying for them. Some of you are visiting with us for the first time. We are glad to have you with us today. And we appreciate your coming out. Some of you have been missing for a while. We're glad to have you back with us, is the way I'll say it. And we just so thankful for you to be here. I'm going to point out one, because his daddy was preaching the revival that I got saved in. Brother Jones, good to have you with us today. And Brother T.C. was preaching the revival in which that I got saved at. I can't tell you for sure who preached that night. I can't. I don't remember that part of the service. But he was in the revival that night, and I was so thankful that I got saved. And so with that being said, we're glad to have all of our visitors with us tonight, and I'm just thankful that we're able to come together today here at Murfreesboro Church and to be able to have an opportunity to worship. With that being said, well, let's move right along. Let's move right along with our children's church. Brother Sam always does a good job, and we're glad to have him back with us today, and he'll be taking care of children's church at this time.
Come on. Let's go. Hey, how are you, sir? You're good? Oh. Looking good. Did y'all miss me last week? Don't lie. Don't lie to me. I missed y'all. We were on a vacation out west and seeing canyons and deserts and stuff. It's good to be back, though. How's everybody? Good? Anybody had a bad week? You have a good week? You good? All right. I know some of you may be only children, but who among you is the youngest child in your family? Are you the youngest? You're the littlest one, aren't you? You're the youngest? I know you are the youngest. Anybody else? This one here? Okay. That's right, Ezra. You're the youngest, ain't you? Give me five right there. Okay. Maybe not. All right. Well, so what if you youngest children, what if one of you had to do something that say mommy or daddy had to do? Could you do it? That'd be hard to do, wouldn't it? It'd be a tall order. But I know a fella in the Bible, and he was the youngest in his family. His name was Gideon. Y'all ever heard a guy named Gideon? Yeah. He's in Judges, the book of Judges. And he was the youngest in his father's house, Ben. And he was asked to do a job that he didn't think he could do. Have y'all ever heard that song, Little Is Much When God Is In It? Hey, have you heard it? Yeah? What does that mean? That means if God is in the matter, it doesn't matter who's doing the work. That it'll accomplish what it was. Well, you know what he did? The Lord told him to go and against the Midianites. Do you know that they were against the children of Israel? They were about to win the battle, but God intervened. And you know how many was in the army that started with him? Do you know how many were in there, Allison? You should know that. I'm just kidding. There were 32,000. Can anybody count the 32,000 real quick? One, two, 32,000. Skip a few. That's good. But you know, the Lord said, that's too many. If 32,000 win the battle, they'll say, well, we did it. We were mighty, you know. So he had a plan to get them down to the right number. So he finally got down. And do you know how many he wound up with to fight the battle? Yes. You raising your hand? 300. You get the gold star. You know that too? Well, I'll get you another gold star as well. So from 32,000, Ben, he got down to 300 people. And they went in there and they did what God told them to. Do you know how many of them was injured? Zero. Do you know how many of them died? Zero. Do you know what they did? Exactly what God told them to. They went through and had their lamps all lit, and when it come time in the middle of the night, they let the lamps shine, and it just scared all the Midianites to death, and they left. And God took that young man who didn't think he could do anything, but little as much when God is in it, you know. And so he fought the battle. Nobody was harmed. Everybody went home, and it was delivered into their hands. So what was the young man's name? What was his name I just talked about? Gideon. How many did he use? 300, and they won the battle. Okay, so don't think you always got to have the biggest army. Don't think you got to have the biggest, you know, amount of weapons. All you got to have is God. Amen. And you got to trust in God. They went forth and did that. All right, stand up and repeat after me. We're going to say what they said when they lit the lamps. Say this, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. All right, y'all are dismissed. Thank you.
It is good to see each and every one out for our service today, and we appreciate the kids coming up and taking part in our children's church. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. We wonder if there's a prayer request upon anyone's heart this morning. There's been different prayer requests mentioned. Go right ahead, Sister Linda. Lord, help. Let's do remember Sister Linda's brother-in-law, right? Let's do remember him in our prayers. Somebody else. There's been different prayer requests made throughout the church over the last few weeks, and we need to continue to remember them. Remember Sister Cheryl's mother as she is recovering, and Let's just be prayerful for all of our members, the ones that can come and the ones that cannot come. We need to be praying for all. Anybody else? Help. Let's do remember Brother Brad's father-in-law. Somebody else I heard.
I'd like to thank the church for the prayers for my brother. I've talked to him a few times this week and I asked him how preaching went for him last Sunday. He said he had great liberty.
Good.
Which preachers know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And he said I could feel the prayer. So I'm just thankful for anyone who remembered to pray for him and continue to do so.
Lord help. Appreciate this. Let's do remember. Let's continue to remember him in our prayers. Loss of a spouse suddenly like that is always a hard thing. But every time a preacher gets in the pulpit, a lot of times that gets in the pulpit with him too. And it's a hard thing. So let's continue to remember him in our prayers. Somebody else. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I hope everyone has been blessed to be here thus far in this service today. We'll call on one to start our prayer today, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Tom, if you would, start our prayer, please.
As we continue our worship, let's turn over to 248, an old hymn we haven't done here in a while. 248. One more song this morning, Lord willing. Choir, y'all want to stand and help us on this last one? Sing out loud on page 64. 64. We'll sing all three verses. 64.
One, two, three,
singing that song. Good job singing all the way through this morning, but y'all did a really good job of singing that song this morning, and we are to magnify the name of Jesus is what we're supposed to be doing, and we are definitely thankful this morning to have the opportunity to magnify the name of Jesus today in this service, and I'm just hopeful that we'll all do so today. That's what we're here for, is to give God honor and glory. And you might say, well, everything's bad in the world. We look at our politics, we look at our country, and we might say, well, what is there to glorify God for? I know the devil has done a number on us, but you know something? God's going to win in the end. And that's the main thing. But the other thing is God saved our souls. And if he hasn't saved your soul as of yet, I pray that before this day is out, God touches you in a great, great way, is what I hope he does. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart this morning? It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and I hope and pray today that we can follow the Lord in this service and just pray that God will give us the message that you need and the message that we all need today in this service. And so be prayerful for us today as we try to stand. We're not going to do a reading lesson today. I'm not going to have one today. So our thought starts here. About a month or so ago, I was asked by a young couple to do their marriage counseling before they got married. And it was my great niece that was fixing to get married. And just to shorten it down a little bit, we went into the marriage counseling. And the first thing that I always do is I like to know if they're saved or not. And I knew that Kristen was saved. I wasn't there when she got saved. I wasn't there when she joined the church, but I'd heard the talk. So I asked her first to tell me her testimony, and she told me a good testimony. Now, her fiance was not reared up like we were. I'll say it that way. So I had been told he had a testimony, but the family was curious about it. And so when I asked him to tell his testimony, he told some good words. And I'll take what he said. He said, "I got saved down beside my bed," is what he said at the end of a prayer. And that was good. And I was thankful for that. And that was the good part about it. But as I was talking to them about this, I said, "Hopefully y'all will be blessed with children." And I said, "I want you to know something. It's your responsibility to bring your children up in the ways of God, in the ways in which that they'll have an opportunity to be saved." And I went on to say, "Kristen, your mother wasn't saved when I married them ever how many years ago." Because I did pretty much the same thing. Before we did the wedding, I asked Jeff for his testimony. He told me his testimony. I asked Melissa about where she was saved, about her salvation. And she ducked her head and she said, "I'm not saved yet." And before I did the wedding, I told a young man it was his responsibility to make sure that Melissa got saved. Didn't think that much about it, but later years, when one of his children got saved, he made mention of my words to him. And he said, "I thank the Lord for it." I thought Brother Stewart was going to get all over my lesson this morning, my message. And he worked it over quite a bit, but then he went away from it. Our message today is our responsibility. I'm not going to use the scriptures that Brother Stewart used this morning, but I want you to realize something today. You have a responsibility. First of all, if you are a husband and your wife has not been saved, or if it's vice versa today, you have a responsibility. If you're a young man that is considering a marriage to a young lady and you've talked to them about their salvation today, it is your responsibility to make sure that they have the opportunity to be saved. If you are blessed with children, and this kind of goes on to the next generation, even the ones that already have children today, I want you to realize something today. It is your responsibility that God has given you to make sure that you are raising them in the nurture and admonition of God. That is what the scripture tells us today. Now, as we look at these things today, I want you to consider today what we're talking about and what you have today in this service. And I'm asking your prayers today because I want this message to get to your hearts. I want it to get down deep inside of you today so that you can have an understanding of your responsibility. Now, Brother Stewart asked this morning about, has anybody been called today in this congregation? Of course, everybody, I think, looked at me. They looked at Brother Trey in that we have a calling to preach. But he went on to talk about how that God works with individuals in their hearts and how that he gives them a calling or a responsibility to do different things. Brother Keith spoke up and he said the Lord had given him a great burden for a particular subject. And I think that was music first was what he was speaking about, and making sure that the music was carried on in this way here in this day. But there's also we ourselves who have responsibilities in our lives. We have the abilities to do different things. Sometimes it is the ability just to talk to a child of our own and tell them about Jesus. It is our responsibilities sometimes, like grandparents, to be able to tell them about what Jesus did for us. That is a responsibility that I want you to consider today. But I also want you to look with us, if you would, at the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. And in that chapter, Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven in this at different places. But he told a parable that is somewhat familiar, I think, to most people who study the Word of God. And in this parable, he talks about a man that was going to travel into a far country. And what he said, he had much goods that he had. And in this parable, he said he chose three men. Now, I'm of the opinion that these men were talented men. They were men who had an understanding of how to take care of the household. But he gave to one of them, and he calls it a talent. Now, a talent was actually a monetary amount of money in that day. It was a weight either of silver, gold, brass, or even iron that it was in that time. And I've heard preachers talk about money to individuals out of this scripture. I've heard them use it, and I've used it myself as a talent to be able to sing or to be able to talk or to be able to pray There's individuals out there that are definitely blessed to be able to pray out loud and to pray in the spirit. There's individuals that are blessed to be able to sing and sing with the right voice and to sing in the spirit of God. And it's truly a blessing. And you see people using that talent for God. But I want you to think of this talent today as an opportunity today. I want you to think of it as being a given opportunity today. Now, for some of you, that talent might be for your own children. It might be for your own spouse. It might be for a friend or a loved one. It might be for somebody in the church. It might be a talent or an opportunity that you have today to carry out the things of God. But I want you to see these three men. Now, the first man, the scripture said that he took those five talents and he took them and he traded them. And in that day, it was in the money markets. I'm guessing maybe he might have bought some sheep. He might have bought some cows. He might have traded for gold or for silver. I don't know what he did in that day, but he put it to work, and he put that opportunity to work for God. Now, you might say today, well, what kind of an opportunity? Brother Sam, I'll use the opportunity that Gideon had that day. You know, Gideon had the opportunity to deliver Israel. God called him for that purpose, and he wasn't sure of that opportunity. He wasn't sure that he was the right man for the job, but he proved God, you might say, in a sense. It's all right to check the spirits of God. The Bible tells us to try the spirits of God and make sure that it is God that is speaking. But the idea I want you to get is don't put it off too long. Always take the opportunity that God has given you and use it for the honor and glory of God. This man, he went out and traded it, and he made five more. The man who had two opportunities, which one are you today? Has God given you a family to make sure that they hear the truth of God? Has God given you a boyfriend or a girlfriend that needs to hear the truth of God? Has God given you that opportunity today to speak to them about their soul? Has God given you in that way? The man that had the two talents, he took it and he used it to the very best of his ability. He doubled it just like the man who had the five talents, didn't he? The five opportunities that he had, he used it for God's glory. So did the man with the two. But the man who had the one. Now, I want you to understand something today. You may not be the person who gets the five talents. You may not be the one that gets the five opportunities. Where the Bible tells us when we have much, much is expected of us. But if you have little, just go with what you have. One of the things that I want you to understand today in this message is whatever you have as an opportunity, take it and use it for God's glory. If it's singing, use it. If it's praying, use it. If it's talking to a sinner, use it. If whatever it might be, use that opportunity that you have to show God's glory. You may have the opportunity just to stand up for the Lord. You know, like I talked about Hannah, how she stood and said, "Thank God for saving my soul." You know, that is an opportunity to talk about what Jesus has done for you. It is an opportunity that we cherish in our hearts. It's an opportunity for us to carry those things out to God, for the glory of God. But this one guy, there's always one, right? Actually, in our churches, there's more than one. Actually, there's usually a multitude of people that are like this one man. And what the scripture said, he took that which the Lord had given him and he buried it. He buried it in the sand. Now, when the Lord came to those men, when he came back from his trip, he asked for an account of them. He said, "What have you done with what I've given you?" Now, in this parable, he was speaking primarily to his church. And when he was talking to them, he was basically telling them, "I'm fixing to leave you. I'm fixing to go back to the Heavenly Father. And you've got this job to do. You may have five. You may have five talents. You may have five opportunities." I think in our minds, we look at Peter and we think of him being the one that had five. We may look at Thomas and think, well, he doubted a whole lot. He may have been the one. But truthfully, all of them had five, more than five opportunities. But they took it and used it to the glory of God. But the one man buried it in the sand. Know this today, that there is coming a time when that you will be held accountable. I want you to understand that today. You will be held accountable. Now, in what the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and I read this to you a couple weeks ago, but it's needful to bring it back. And what he talks about here is building upon your life. And he talks about building on the foundation of God. And he says, but it will be declared at the end what you have built upon the foundation of Christ, is what he says. And he says, if any man's works abides which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Go back to the parable of the talents. And you look at the 21st verse here, and what Jesus told the first man, and this is also true for the man who had the two talents. He said, the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to talk about being a ruler. We're not getting into that today. But I want you to see that joy. There is joy in doing what God leads. There's joy in following Him. There's joy in doing what He says. There is rewards if you do those things. He said, if you build your own, he shall receive a reward. Yeah. Where are you going to receive that reward? Sometimes we get blessings down here on earth for things that we do. This past revival, when I watched that one, some of them ain't here today. That one down here, that one back yonder, and that one back yonder. When I saw them get saved, I got a reward. Did you not get a reward when you saw them being saved? Did you not get a reward when you saw them joining the Lord's church? Did you not get a reward when you saw them being baptized? Did you not get a reward when Brother Chad came forward? I did. You know, those were blessings that God gave us here upon this earth. But that's not the only reward we're going to receive. I want you to understand, God, and I've heard preachers say this for all of my life, God is the greatest paymaster there is. I listen to what they talk about salaries today to people. And they're talking about people going to McDonald's working $15 an hour, and I'm thinking, Lord, help, I didn't get that much when I was working public work. At McDonald's? God makes them all look very poor as far as paymasters. We shall receive a reward for what we have done. But what about the ones that bury their opportunities in the sand? If you go back with us and look at it again, the Lord was not pleased with that man. And I'm not going to get into all the details of it, but I want you to see what he called him. What he called him in that day was this: thou wicked and slothful servant. Because you were afraid, that was his words, I was afraid. The Lord called him a wicked and slothful servant. You know what slothful means? Slow. Lazy. Hey, by the way, did you notice where his talent was? He didn't bring it back to the master. He couldn't even get it out of the ground for him. He had it buried. You see, we as God's people, we have a responsibility for people that are here. We have opportunities that I can't reach. You have responsibilities as far as individuals that you can talk to about Jesus. You can tell them about your salvation. I can think of different ones as they tell people about Jesus. I didn't tell you the other part about Hannah. When they got into the service and they gave the altar call, there was two or three kids went down to pray. It was a little girl that was sitting just to the side on the front row. Hannah went and spoke to her. A few minutes, she went back again. She was concerned. A few minutes, here she went again. And as she came back, her little sister got on her. She said, Hannah, leave her alone. She says, I want to make her pray. The opportunity is not to make them, just to tell them about Jesus. I had to explain to Hannah, I said, you can't make them trust the Lord. You can't make them seek God. All you can do is just tell them what Jesus did for you. It's not up to us to save them. Even though over in the Corinthian letters, when it's talking about a husband's privilege to an unsaved wife and vice versa, it says, who knows whether thou shalt save them. That's the terminology that Paul used. We can't save them, but we put it all right in front of them where it's almost the same thing as saving them. And that's what we're doing. What is our responsibilities today? Do you have a lost child? Maybe they're not even to that age yet. Maybe they're not even born yet. So most of you know, Paul and I get to be grandparents again. Christy and Luke are expecting one. And when we got the word, I said, Lord, save that child before it's too late. That's an opportunity. When we as God's people share Jesus, we can't make them trust us. We can't make them do anything. All we can do is shine a light, show them Jesus, live before them as God would have us to do. Not like the world, living like God, or like Jesus. Let me say it that way, like Jesus did. We may not live exactly like him, but if we'll show forth his glory, it'll win hearts. I'm sure Brother Brad is familiar with a song that the Inspirations used to sing and still sing, I should say. And in that song, it's called Two Shoes. In that song, there was a woman whose husband was not saved. She went by a yard sale and found two Sunday slippers. She carried them home. And the husband said, I'll not wear those shoes, not to church. Each day she went and she prayed with those two shoes, praying for his soul. Finally, after a long while, the song says, she heard as she started out the door for church, wait for me. And she looked around and she saw those two shoes coming to go with her to church. I think about Brother Jay Collins. He wouldn't go with his wife Emily, but there was a lot of prayers. And that night when he went into that church, he sat through a sermon that the Lord touched his heart. And when he seen Aunt B headed his way, he ran to the altar and there was saved. Sometimes we think that our prayers are futile, that they're nothing, they're not going anywhere. Doesn't seem like they're going to ever be answered. God answers in his own sweet time. And believe me, it's sweet when it's answered. That's going to be our message today, Brother Brad. What opportunities do you have? What is your responsibility? Just tell them about it. Live before them. Show them the glory of God in front of them. It'll work a great, great work when you do so. Brother Brad, while we sing, all please rise.
Stand. 115 in the Redback Hymnal.